Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Allie, can you start this podcast already?
When you close your mouth, I will.
Ooh. Wait, I didn't even know you guys had a podcast. Like,
what?
Yes, that's how we're going to start. Hey, Road Trippin' fam. We are excited to let you know that Road Trippin' is proud to be presented by FanDuel. Never played NBA Daily Fantasy on FanDuel before? Well, check this out. Right now, FanDuel is offering up to a $500 bonus instantly when you make your first deposit with a 20% deposit match. Why should you play on FanDuel NBA? Well, for one, it is easy to use when it comes to their app. What's not to love about that? But also, for example, they offer different and unique contests across sports in relation to your skill level. Oh yeah, and get this, you can play for big prizes, single game contests for the biggest national matches, and enter contests for as low as 5 cents. That's right, 5 cents. Simply incredible. So again, let's recap. Right now, FanDuel is offering up to a $500 bonus instantly when you make your first deposit with a 20% deposit match. Enter URL FanDuel.com/roadtrippin to play now and get your deposit bonus. That's URL FanDuel.com/roadtrippin so they know we sent you. FanDuel, more ways to win.
Guys, Channing Frye here. Let me tell you about something that has completely transformed my outside experience. I live in the Pacific Northwest. I love hiking. I love camping. I love being outside on those cool summer nights. And the best thing that I've discovered, that I found, is the Solo Stove. This thing is amazing. We have one by the pool, so we want to go in the pool at night. People can be roasting marshmallows. And guess what? You're not going to be covered in smoke. This thing is smokeless. Okay, this thing comes with a free stand, which also helps with the maneuverability of it. We take it everywhere. We've been camping with this thing. We've been out in front of our house with this thing with friends, social distancing. But one thing I want you to remember is make spring one to remember with the smokeless fire pit from Solo Stove and get a free stand with any purchase of a fire pit. Just use our promo code ROADTRIPPIN at checkout. That's solostove.com, promo code ROADTRIPPIN.
Cheers, even though it's 9 in the morning. Welcome into this edition of Road Trippin, presented by FanDuel, alongside Channing Frye, Richard Jefferson. I'm Allie Clifton, and I don't think I've ever been so excited, and I'm not lying, to be so outnumbered by the bear down mentality, because we are joined by the legend herself, head women's basketball coach from the University of Arizona, Adia Barnes.
Yay! We have applause.
Bobcats in the house. It's 2-2. That's good. He's the legend. I'm not the legend. I'm just company.
Who?
You.
First of all, I would.
I don't know who you're pointing at, but I assume.
Okay, both of you. All right.
Look, I was trying to tell people again. We're going back 20 years, but when we were freshmen, like you were big man on campus. Like you were, like you and JT were the two seniors, and you guys were just studs. It was such a unique thing, because as a freshman, you didn't know us. You didn't talk to us. We were like the little kids running around.
We were friends.
But I'm saying you did talk to us, but I'm saying it was like, we still looked up to the seniors and like the people are like, oh, she's all American. She's this. So no, you're never going to tell us.
We're not going to talk about the lipstick and the chain back then. Cause I look at pictures. I'm like, what the hell was I doing?
Ooh. What were we all doing? What were we all doing?
Yeah. Like, I'm super light skinned. I'm very white. And like, I used to wear burgundy lipstick. I don't know who the hell said that was popping. That's disgusting.
I was popping back in the day.
Wait, so do you have a story of Richard? Do you remember, like?
I don't remember little things. I just remember he was like this freak athlete that came in and just had so much potential. And I remember he was cool. He was kind of quiet, which he's not quiet at all now when he first got here, but it was just fun to watch him grow, you know? Like watch him turn into this big old NBA star. It's crazy. Here we
go. Star. Have you ever been given that title, Rich?
No.
Star?
That's Arizona. Arizona, we just love on each other. That's what we do. Cause like the WNBA had just started and all of a sudden Adia goes from like, oh wow, like she's playing in WNBA. It's like
I barely made the WNBA scraping to get on the roster.
But it does. So did Channing. Channing played what, 12 years, barely in the NBA every single year. You know?
I'll tell you this right now. If I'm scraping, listen, we all doing good.
Yes.
We all doing good. You hear the echoes. The echoes in the crib.
No, that's true. Yeah, I don't have that. WNBA, we don't have those echoes.
Well, listen, you got that Arizona money, though. You good.
Now I'm echo a little bit. My friend was like, welcome to the club. I was like, shit, I'm barely there.
No. You're either in the club or outside the club.
Listen. Yeah, you in the club. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to call you coach because that's just like natural for me.
Thank you.
How has your life?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay. Idea. How has your life changed since then? Like, how has it all calmed down? Like, what's it been like?
Well, the whole world knows that I pump and breastfeed, so that's awesome. like everybody's asked me about that, and it's embarrassing. But no, it hasn't really calmed down. So since the championship game, I have not had a day off. Like it is all, I'm not complaining because it's good stuff. It's just a lot of obligations. And like, I came back for a week and then I went to USA basketball. So then I came back and I go to USA basketball again in 3 weeks. So I literally have not had a day off. It's been crazy, but it's a good crazy. So.
Go ahead, Richard.
No,
I'm gonna let you go first.
You know, my question is stupid.
Mine are too. I think, okay. So at the beginning of the year, right? A coach looks at his team and is like, okay, I know who we are as a team, but like by the end of the season, I want to work on, you know, what I'm not good at. What was that thing about this team at the beginning of the year that you saw them develop the most that got you to where you got?
Okay, so at the beginning of the year, we're okay defensively, nothing like we were at the end of the year. Right. I thought rotations weren't great, didn't understand the system yet. Offensively, we weren't changing because I wasn't going to make people be able to shoot because some of us could not shoot and we couldn't be over from the outside. So offensively, I knew that we were way behind. And so defensively, I knew we could be good because we had some athletes and we fed off our defense. So worked a lot on rotations, focused on that because I wasn't going to make someone a shooter that's not. So I knew our defense had to create our offense. Got way better through the season. Very difficult in the season because everybody just played like they didn't play zone against us because we were actually really good against zone. Yeah. We were awful against like a saggy man. Yeah. You know, like Ari comes off on balls. The big man stays in the middle. They make her take pull-up jumpers. And then like when she drives, everybody was in the paint to make us shoot threes. We were not good at that. So it was hard. Like we could not like score from the outside real well.
Well, how is it? Okay, so that's something that as teams and players, you know, they're like, oh, we need shooting. So we're going to go get shooting. Like, especially like at like professional levels, like we don't understand because it's probably been so far removed. How much better can you get at shooting over the course of like, we're going to look at our preseason first five games. This is an area. Is it, do you dedicate another 30 minutes a day of practice? Is it shooting coaches? Is it individual? Like how do you, I know you're never going to go from 35 to 40.
Yeah.
But how do you do that incremental growth so it's less of a weakness?
Well, so it was everyday individuals because and it was skill work to work on skill, but it was like getting shots. So maybe we would like set goals. We would say like 1% better every day. So if you take 100 a day at the end of the month, you're trying to take 200, 300. No kid is taking 1,000 shots a day. No one. It's not like the NBA. No one has a shooting coach. It's just the coaches doing the skill work. So just getting reps and confidence so you can have the confidence to make a shot. But I knew our identity. I wasn't going to turn an athletic driver into a shooter, but just have her get the reps so she can hit some shots. But it meant to me focus more on defense. So then defensively, we get more steals that create layups that are easier, higher percentage shots. So we became like we were dogs on defense. You guys
saw, you absolutely
we were dogs on defense. Our asses couldn't shoot to save our life.
That's what you got to do. That's what you got to do.
Dude, for sure.
That would be aggressive. But the cool thing to me in watching kind of this growth and what you've accomplished over the years is you're doing it at your alma mater, right? Like a place that like, and that's not an easy place to show up. No. That's not an easy place to like, you know, okay, well, if I come home, if this goes south, it's like all of a sudden my alma mater, like screw my school.
Yeah.
So it's like more risks than
there's more pressure. Right? And people don't think that because when I was here, we sucked when I first got here. We were like a top 10 team my last couple of years.
Yeah.
So like everybody expected when I got here, oh, just be that. And I was looking, I'm like, it's going to take me like 10 years here. Because we are like 300 in RPI, you know? So I didn't know year five we would have so much success. I thought it would take 7 years because the culture was so bad when I got here. We were like having fist fights in practice. I'd never seen some
stuff. I mean, some coaches like that.
You were having, so when you first showed up, like obviously these are not your players, and I don't mean that in a disrespectful way, but these are players that you didn't recruit. They're dealing with a brand new coach, and there's tension, there's whatever. Obviously, if a coach got fired, that means that things weren't going well.
No, they were bad.
What was your biggest adjustment in year one for you, or like realization?
The realization that like stuff was dysfunctional. So when I came, I was actually really sad because when I first got here, I was like, this isn't how it's supposed to be. Like, this is not normal, but the kids didn't know what normal was. To them, the things that were happening were normal. And to me, it was like, okay, you can get mad and talk crap and you can do all that. Like, I like that. But then you don't actually go to blows. You don't actually square up and like get ready to fight. I was like, wait, we're really fighting? Like, come on.
And then that's what I say all the time. I said, hold on.
But you can talk crap and like be like, shut up, or like stop fouling. But then like you don't like square up, you know? So squared up fought. And then we separated people and then they went in the hallway and fought again. So I was like, you can't make this up. I just wasn't used to that. But to them, that happened every year. It wasn't a thing. But to me, it was like devastating. It was like, what did I get myself into? What's going on here? They've always been on teams like that. And I was like, this isn't normal. Like, this isn't okay. We can talk, we can compete, we can go at each other, but I couldn't do certain drills because we would get in fights. But I just had to show, I wanted them to have a great experience. And that's not the normal experience. Like in me, I was giving them a change. They played hard for me because they were hungry for a change. And you know, when the boats rock, people are like, okay, they kind of,
they're looking for stable. Yeah. Stability. Yeah.
But I think after that, what I realized is that culture was everything. I had to change the culture. So the following year, I made some changes, didn't ask some people to come back. And I knew we were going to suck. And I knew we were going to take a step back because I had to for the culture because I just wasn't going to coach certain things.
Or it's going to take a lot longer for that culture to change. It's like, yo, like, and that's one thing that I remember Lute Olson, you know, he could tell players that like, hey, I just don't think that you're going to play here for us. And I want to communicate that. I want to communicate that to you. But no, there were guys that were on the team that were like, look, we got these guys that are going to come in. We don't think you're going to play. I'd rather tell you. That's got to be super, super hard for a coach. Like, these weren't your players, so these weren't people that you had necessarily recruited, but it's still got to be a very, very difficult thing.
It was very hard. It was funny because I was a first-year head coach. Like, I had never had conversations like that. One girl, it's like, it took me like the whole day to talk to her. And like, I remember my voice was like, I was so nervous because I was like, oh my gosh, like, what if she drops out of college? Like, I was, it was like firing someone. I was so like devastated to tell her. It was like my heart was like beating out of my like head. It was hard. Then I just said,
I imagine that, but I imagine that was after multiple conversations and then realizing that behavior wasn't going to change. And
well, in one particular player, she like, you tell her to like run and she would not run. Like jogging.
We've all had those guys. We call them big turkeys.
But how do you not run when a coach tells you to run? I was like, does she not hear me? Like, say run. She can't just go jog. Like, that's not what we do. And like, she wouldn't do it. And I was just like, she just doesn't hear me or something. So I was like, I can't coach her, you know?
We had a teammate that did the exact same thing, and coach ended up putting her in a chair in the middle of the court, and we all ran around her, and she just looked at us. And we're like, oh, yeah. You're not made for this. No.
Richard, did you ever have that guy who had conditioning? We knew it. We used to call him the pot pie, right? Because after 5 minutes and the mic and the heat, he would be done.
The big guy. This girl wasn't big. She was
He wasn't big. That's the thing. He just had no mental capability for conditioning. So the first we do the warm up. All right. Whew. Next thing, let's get to sprint. He'd be like, ah, my back. You're like, your back? No, we didn't even start yet. He'd be like, well, we all got to run because so-and-so doesn't want to run today. And we're looking at him. He just like, yeah, it's tightening up. I said, what? I just saw you play pickup for 3 hours.
Wait, was this in college or the pros?
In college. Oh, in the pros.
You don't play.
Some dudes. Some dudes you just don't talk to. Mental health. It's Mental Health Month. There are some dudes who you just don't talk to like that because you don't know where they're going to come back with.
Let's say this. Dysfunction is still dysfunction, right? Like, there are players and stuff, and you still see it today. Like, Kevin Porter Jr., like, he literally is a most so talented. I saw him play at USC, gets drafted by Cleveland Cavs, is amazing, right? But he just keeps having these like outbursts, and he was struggling with some things, and they tried to kind of navigate that. And JB Bickerstaff is like a young guy. He understands, but they just couldn't work with him. And they decided to trade him, not because he's not talented. He gets traded to Houston and has 50 and like 10, right? This kid.
What's his deal?
A lot of experiences over the course of his life that have probably generated some frustration and anger. And then there was just some like random blowups over things that, you know, and again, he's a 21-year-old kid and, you know,
his dad. His dad was like a coach. His dad seems like a good guy.
You're thinking Michael Porter Jr. I'm thinking, talking about Kevin Porter Jr.
From Houston.
Kevin Porter.
The lefty.
Yeah, so he's a lefty. He was a top kid. Went to USC. He just needs to address some things, but his talent is off.
Oh, it's crazy.
Chart. He's got money to address them. He needs to address them.
But you know, when you're 21, yeah, it's kind of whatever. But the team.
I'll tell you this: culture in the NBA is everything. Because, like, I've been on teams where you get a guy like, for instance, LeBron. You could tell LeBron, "Hey, we need to run." And he'll be like, all right. And he'll be the first one to run. Or you get your highest paid guy that you're like, everyone get on the line. And he's like, I'm not doing that. And there's really, if you don't got the say.
They just don't do it and the coach says it.
No, they'll just be like, I'm not doing that. Like, it doesn't happen very often. But I've been on some bad teams where guys are like, I'm not doing that.
Let's show you the difference really quickly. Do you know how players in college talk to referees? Mm-hmm. This is how players in the NBA talk to referees. Like, dudes will be in college for 4 years and be like, yes, sir, never get a technical. They show up in the league and they'll get 10 technicals over the course because that's somewhat of the culture. Like, if you feel like you're getting hosed, you cuss the referee out, you get a technical, it's fine.
Right? Yeah.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Think about it. I don't think I ever got a technical in college.
What? If you got a tech from Coach Ho? Shut up. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Talk to him over here. Somebody talk to dude. If you were talking to the referee, Salim was a big referee guy. Yeah, he was just like, Salim, what are you? You know, Salim, walk right over to the bench. Stop talking. Play the game. Never talk to the referees.
Well, how about this? Our coach, in the year we won the championship, our coach, we were the number one seed, and our coach got fired 40 games into the season.
Culture is everything.
The NBA is the most drama.
Yeah, but like, how do you control the culture as a But how do you control the culture as a coach when the players are telling you?
Well, you have to, so Eric Spoelstra has the backing of Pat Riley. So what Eric Spoelstra says, that goes, right? And he's shown that he can win. So he also has Udonis Haslem, who's a 18, 19-year vet. So between the last man on the team to the first guy on the team, Jimmy Butler, to the coach, to the GM, to the owner, everybody's on the same page about winning. And there's no breaking the rules for anybody. Like when Braun went there, he had to fit right into that scene, right? And San Antonio, like when you go to San Antonio, you fit into that culture. So even like, I would say, what's another guy that I know I'm missing? I mean, even for instance, like Portland, who is younger, Terry Stotts, like Damian Lillard, is the source of culture for them, where everyone comes in, you don't complain, you get shots up, and you try to win the best you can. So you got to be really good at picking your main guy, because he's going to establish culture for everybody else. Like Tim Duncan, if Tim Duncan could get yelled at, everybody else could get yelled at.
Now, what about Steve Kerr? Like Steve Kerr, I could see him having a good culture.
Oh, Steve is funny, man. Steve is funny because Steve,
I love him.
Yeah, Steve's amazing because Steve can like walk into a room and there's a tremendous amount of respect immediately because of what he's accomplished, the shots that he's hit. Like literally his basketball resume is like never like a superstar except in college, but he was like at the forefront of so many historic basketball moments, San Antonio, Chicago, all that stuff. So when he walks in and he has the, like, learned from Phil Jackson, played for Phil Jackson, played for Pop, and he was around Tim Duncan, Michael Jordan, David Robinson, Scottie Pippen, Dennis Rodman. So it's like, he almost has the ability to connect to any player.
His communication is the best. Like when I was, we were at the Western Conference Finals, and it was contract year, and I was nervous, and I was like 1 for 20. He literally took me to a Starbucks like before game three, and we're playing the Lakers. Lakers were like Kobe, Powell, Ron Artest, you know, Andrew Bynum, all those guys. And I'm like freaking out, right? And he could tell. And he was like, Channing, regardless of this game, I just need you to get real drunk. And I was like, what? He goes, I need you to grab a 12-pack of beer, sit outside in your million-dollar house, and realize how awesome opportunity this is, and get your head out your ass and like hit me on the shoulder and like end up playing good, because I literally after the game, I played good. I sat and had some beers. It was like, man, life is good. Like you can't get caught up into this. And I took that to like basically my whole career. I just kept drinking beer and wine and kept shooting.
Adia, when it comes to, you talked about culture, when it comes to like your culture, like what have you figured is the key? And do you like, speaking of when you just mentioned, you would assume that Steve Kerr is awesome. Like, do you pull, do you look to the NBA, the WNBA, other coaches surrounding you?
Yeah. Well, I think first of like the championship teams I've been on, like, what was it like? And so I know that on the championship teams, like with the Storm, Lauren Jackson and Sue Bird. So if there was some stuff happening on the team, they were going to cuss you out. Like Lauren would cuss you out in like 5 seconds. So it's like the players policed each other. The coaches didn't have to check you. So in college, it's a little bit different. My first like 3 or 4 years here, there wasn't leadership. So I had to be the leader. But I knew that that's not a championship culture. Even last year, we didn't have a championship culture. We had some leadership, but we still had a hard time like holding each other accountable, talking about the hard stuff. So I always had to like bring that out. So as we're progressing, when we become a championship team, it's the players policing each other, holding each other accountable. And then I don't have to do that so much. But like in the first few years, I just had to do that a lot. And that's not my personality. Be like, your attitude sucks. Change your body language. Like, it's not what I like to do. Yeah. Like, yeah. I've had to be that person. It's like, damn, you know, it's hard.
Yeah. Well, you have your playing career. Take us through like when you knew you wanted to be a coach. Take us through when this opportunity came up, because then we're going to get to and talk about another job opening at Arizona.
Oh God, here we go.
No, not a bad. First of all,
I say that, Richard. I'm joking with you. Stop.
I know, but I'm not joking.
Wait, so like when I came to Arizona?
No, just like how, like when the, because I want to know like. Prior to Arizona, you were where?
I was at Washington.
Washington.
In the Pacific Northwest.
Washington's very different.
That's Seattle. That's awesome.
I love Seattle.
Yeah, Seattle's
traffic,
amazing.
Too much traffic.
Okay, so you're getting more and more, you know, coaching experience. You interviewed for the Arizona head job. Like, take us through kind of that moment and that phone call of like, hey, like you're that person.
So I wasn't looking to be a head coach. So I had just got done with a 13-year pro career. I was living overseas. Like, it was a lot. So remember, I was living overseas for the last 7 years, and then I was broadcasting for the WNBA. So it was like a perfect gig for me. So as I was thinking, like, what do I want to do next? Like, what do I love? I liked TV. I didn't love it, because I felt like I wasn't like with the team. And I felt like I just like fly in, you do your stuff, you leave. I was like, I feel like I was missing something. So when the coaching job came open, I wasn't sure if I wanted it. Arizona had been awful for 10 years. I was like, I'm not about to go there and suck and never have another head coaching job. As a Black woman, you don't get second chances. So I remember I just had a baby. He was at the time 7 months old. So I was not looking. I had just like built a house in Seattle or remodeled a house. So I was comfortable. And then Greg Byrne like came to recruit me. And at first I was like, I don't know if I want the job. Like I wasn't sure. And then he showed me like the facilities, talked about like his vision, support. And but I had only been coaching for 5 years.
Yeah.
So
that's a long time. 5 years
is a long time. And this 5 years is not long. Mm-mm. Not to get a Power Five job. So like no one does that. Everybody goes like starts at a lower level or they're assistant for like 10 years. I'm like the youngest experience, like one of them in the country at a top program. Because 5 years assistant, now I've been 5 years as a head coach. So it's not a long time. But I had playing experience, so I was fine. I knew that. So Greg recruited me. And then I had like a connection with him, really liked him. But everybody, Lyndon, like all my friends told me not to take the job. It was one of the lowest paying jobs in all Power Five. It was a bad job because we sucked. And we had been bad for like a long time since I played. And so everybody said, do not take that job because it's hard to win. It's hard to recruit there. It's all known for men's basketball. It's not known for women. It's very difficult. But I just like, I said, let me bet on me. I said, I can recruit. I know I can. I know basketball. Like, and I can recruit, so I can bring players.
And this is an opportunity. It's like, yo, how many times? Yeah, at your alma mater, these opportunities might not even your alma mater, but like this type of opportunity might not come around 3-4 more years.
And when someone wants you.
Wants you, they're pursuing you. Like,
yeah, they were like, I got a call one day during the Pac-12 tournament. I didn't know. And like, it was Greg Byrne. I was like, hey, but it was just like, so being recruited. So I took a chance, came here. And then Greg Byrne left after 1 year.
Yeah, went to Alabama, so, like, right?
He went to Alabama. So,
ooh, that's that money.
Yeah, he got real money. He got like $1 million.
That's that real. You know how much a dollar goes? How long a dollar goes in Alabama?
You know how much money they got in Alabama?
Nick Saban. I just took the job here, but it was like, I remember I wasn't even concerned about the money. Because I had to prove myself. I was a young head coach. I had only been coaching 5 years. So no one thought it'd be good. Everybody thought we'd just suck. I never was going to build it. And then like suck the year. Year one, we were actually okay. Won 15 games. Second year, 1-6. Third year, NIT. Fourth year, we would have gone to the tournament except for COVID. And then fifth year, national championship game. So it was like a really quick turnaround.
Okay, so Rich, I know you want
That's a slight flex now. You were
But you know who helped? Ari McDonald helped that turnaround. Without Ari, we ain't turn around so fast. I'll tell you that. Yeah, I know that.
Yeah. It starts with one. It like for Lute Olson, it was Sean Elliott. Like Sean Elliott was a backyard guy, and he was growing up in Tucson. He's one of the top players in the country, and like Lute Olson is establishing, and he's like, okay, I'll stay home, and then. One Sean Elliott start, like the rest is 25 years later, but Sean was that, it took one.
Yeah, Ari was that one for us. But Ari, remember, I recruited her at Washington when I was an assistant coach. So she came here. Like she could have gone anywhere. She came here.
Ooh, that may seem
okay. I got a question as a coach. Like, what rules would you change if you could about like your interaction with your players, the amount of interaction? Because I know it's like the NCAA rules seem archaic, right? For kids who want to be really good, whether that's going to the WNBA, the NBA, you can only be with your coach, your leader for so long, right? You have to do so much individually. And it's just like, for me, I think on the men's side and even for the women's side who want to go to the league, it's like, hey, I'm going to school, but my dream is to do this, but you put me in a box.
Yeah, I would probably change. I would change the skill work. I think the downfall is by doing that, you're going to have some kids working out.
Abusing it. So that's kind of.
What are the rules today?
Aren't you an adult? Like you can buy cigarettes. Then, you got to make decisions. You can't baby them.
The problem is what they'll say is like you have power and pressure.
Oh.
So you might have pressure to do 3 workouts a day and not have time to go to school when you have indirect pressure. But right. I do think we need more time for skill work because like we do it and I take it out of practice. So we do an hour of skill work daily. Yeah. And we're one of the few in the country that do it. But it's also for the coaches, it's hard because sometimes like Salvo, my husband, he's one of the coaches. He's on the court from like 8 a.m. until 3.
But yeah, I want to talk about that.
Yeah.
By the way, the family balance, because I know you said at the beginning that you're annoyed with the breast. Feeding and all. We don't have to go.
I'm not annoyed at all. It's just everybody found out, which I'm fine because I'm breastfeeding. I'm a new mom. But like, but everybody found out during a championship game and that went viral. But like, I didn't. I had to do what I had to do.
Yeah. You just thought of it as life.
I was like, boobs, don't produce milk. Let me wait. You know what I mean? Like, it's like,
you don't want to be like leaking.
Well, that's leaking honestly. So that was the reason. So normally I pump like right before the game because my baby was six, 6 months at the time. Now she's 7. But like, I normally pump, but I had like all this media stuff. So I didn't have time to pump. So I was like, okay, I'll be okay. During the game, I was like, ooh, I'm feeling a little bit of pressure. Like, I got to like go 5 minutes at halftime. So I booked it in the locker room at halftime. And usually I give the players like 5 to 7 minutes anyways to, get ready to go to the bathroom and stuff. So I pumped during that time. But this is the funny thing. So I had like, you guys all have kids. So I had like the hands-free like bra pump on. And I just like covered it with a little blanket. And I tucked it in here. So I talked to the team. I want, I have these things on. I want this and this.
And they you're covering it for like this, but they see that you have like.
Obviously,
I literally would have been like, this woman is incredible.
They've seen it so much. So, but the funny part was, so national championship game, I'm like these three things offensively, three things defensively. We just give a couple points. And then as I'm talking, drawing on the board, like it falls. And then all you see is like boobs and plastic. And then everybody's like laughing. I was like cracked up. I was like, oops, sorry. And then put it back on. But like, they know me. I don't care. Yeah. And it was just, it broke the ice because everybody was like tense. It's like the national championship. And then it was funny. So they found out I was pumping because I came out and I had to like walk super fast to get like, it was like a 2 minute walk. Yeah. And I was like, I gotta go, but no one knew. And then someone was like, she took long because she's pumping. So that's how it kind of went viral. But all the moms like, wow, someone finally said something. I didn't know it was a big deal,
I want to know who told you, who taught you, or where you felt that that is okay. Because I think you have given that,
I think it's okay,
that light to so many. But like, at what point did you?
Well, I'm a woman. I'm a mom. I'm not embarrassed. Like, I'm very transparent. Like, that's what I do. I'm not going to not breastfeed my kid because of my job.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to do that. So if my job didn't like I'm doing that, like if I'm going to go get another job. So I just don't like, I got to be who I am. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to like let my job dictate my family. I wanted to have another kid. I'm 44. Like, women don't get pregnant at babies at 44. So when I got pregnant at 43, it was like a shock, but it was a blessing because like it was like a 5% chance.
Awesome.
And so like it's like no one has like think about a kid at 44.
Are you done with kids?
Yeah, I mean, now I'm too old. Now it's like a negative 10%. You know, like women don't have kids my age. I'm like the only one in the place without IVF that had a baby. Wow. I didn't know that. Like, you don't get pregnant at 43.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's so rare. So I didn't think I was pregnant. Like during a game, I don't sweat a lot. During the game, I was like, I'm freaking sweating. Like, what's the problem? And I was like sweating. And then I found out I was pregnant. But I
must be pregnant. I sweat a lot.
I don't sweat a lot. And so, when I was pregnant, so I found out I was pregnant and then COVID happened. I don't think I would have stayed pregnant if COVID wouldn't have happened. Because normally I'm traveling all over the country, home visits, home in July. I don't think I would have sustained the pregnancy, but I was able to stay home for months, sit out, hide out so no one knew. Because like last time, like I had a miscarriage and it was on, everybody knew about it. So I didn't want that to happen in public. And I'm like, okay, I'm almost 44. This is a very high chance it could happen. So COVID for me was the best thing because I could stay at home and no one knew till 6 months. And then like I sustained it, but I don't think I would have otherwise because it would have been too stressful.
So what is it like going to work, coming home? I mean, just you and your husband, obviously you've made it work. It's successful.
Yeah.
But as you mentioned, like he's working out your team from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m.
And I'll do my workouts at like 11. Like I can't do it in a day. Like I can't with all my stuff. But like the coaches do that. I mean, we have balance. I always say he's the boss at home. And he's always like, that's not true. I'm like, kinda. But
I let you be the boss.
We're just so different. Like he's more quiet, I'm more outgoing. Like he's from Italy, so I met him when I was playing pro in Europe. And then I talked him into coming to the States. He did not want to move to the States. Like I was like, please, just a couple years, let's try it. And I was supposed to move to Italy. And so he moved here and he didn't dream about moving to America. He doesn't.
Yeah, but that money, you can go get your home in Italy now.
He didn't have that money. So
that's what I'm saying.
I'm a sugar mama now.
Yeah. See, the third baby's coming.
He was a pro coach in Europe. He didn't want to move to the States, but now he loves it. But at first, he did not like it, and he was in Seattle. He hated all the rain. was, but now he loves the heat. Like, you know, he likes that.
Oh yeah. Has he ever said something to you like, what the F kind of call was that? And you had to check in real quick. Like, hey, shut up.
No, one time. he'll yell on the fence sometimes. I'm like, be quiet. Cause I'm not a yeller. Like, be quiet, stop yelling. But like, we get along well, we don't fight. Like in the office, we're not like next to each other.
Yeah.
Like we're busy at home with the kids. We go to the office. Like he has his own office. So if he's getting on my nerves, he has his own office. So I'm getting on his nerves. And then, but we don't like fight in front of people. We don't look like we're married at work because we're professional. Like we're very conscious of that. Like we're not holding hands, kissing goodbye. We're like, bye. Because we know like that's the way.
Yeah, you have to, you can't let anybody use anything against you.
Exactly.
And you have to be like aware and cognizant of what the negative could be.
So this is if he hears me talking crap.
Yeah,
so
come here. Come say hi.
He hears me talking
crap. What's up?
Good to see you again.
Hey, just making sure.
Hey,
she said you're the boss at home.
He's the boss at home.
You're the boss at home.
Look, I'm not even the boss at home.
He's got them working out. He thinks he's trying to be 29 again on that Peloton every day.
Get it.
I told him, you're lucky he's in shape. He didn't have a baby. If he would have had a couple of babies, he's lucky.
Hey, I got a question. So like, has it set in that this may be the NCAA women's tournament is probably the first time in many of a long line of it was more famous and more memorable and probably I would venture to maybe say more watched than the men's?
Good question.
I don't know statistically. I don't know, like, than the men's.
I exaggerate.
No, but I know. Millions. Like, it was the most viewed. Like, our UConn game was, like, one of the most viewed for the region, which it was shocking.
Yeah, trust me. I was talking shit to Sue Bird.
Yeah, you know, Sue was in my wedding.
Sue's awesome, man. Shout out Bear Down. But that's all right.
And the funny thing is, going in, you know, the game I was really nervous about for first game, Texas A&M, because they have some big beasts. I was walking by them like, oh, damn. Like, they were big. And they're athletes. But, you know, it's funny. They were talking a little bit of crap. Like, not to me, but some of our players overheard them talking about they were going to whoop us, all this stuff. Yeah. And so I was like, before the game, I was like, let's see who whoops who's, you know what?
Yeah.
We went in on fire. But the UConn game, I was nervous.
Yeah.
I was really
Paige is a little stud.
Well, like, and they have experience. Gino's only won 11 more championships than me and like 1,000 more games. And this is a national championship setting that I've never been, you know, I've never been there. So it was just, I didn't know if our team would clam up a little bit. Yeah.
Was anything different about your style going into that?
Nothing. I don't treat any game bigger. I'm just like, whoop their ass. Like, who cares? Like, it doesn't. We're not afraid. Like, I was a little nervous thinking like, okay, we've never been there. It's uncharted territory, but we don't act scared. Like, I'm always like, who cares? Like, go punch him in the mouth. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
Like, we're not.
I can play for you. Listen, you ready? I'm about to get back on my
right?
Peloton. No, I try to get up. Like, I felt bad that the double birds got caught on camera. But
first of all, on our text chain, what did I send to you both on our text chain with Gina?
Ali, I don't remember what I did. Yesterday.
You did that and I saw it in the moment and I was like, oh my God, she's like my new favorite person. Like, are you kidding? I thought it was the best moment.
Well,
your moment.
Yeah, it was with, I was loving on my team. I was like, basically like, screw everybody didn't believe in us. We have one more game, but you know what caught me? So I told them to come in because I knew I was about to say something like that.
Yeah.
It was that spider camera.
Because it got you from behind. Yeah.
That's that XFL camera.
And then like on a string. And they were like, are you going to apologize? I was like, absolutely not. Because I wasn't sorry for it. I wasn't going to change it. You saw my team after. They were like, yeah, screw them. Like, they were pumped up. But it wasn't about, like, people ask, oh, did you do it at the NCAA? No, it was about, like, my team saying, no one believed in us. They left us out of the promo video. No one talked about us. We don't care. We believe in each other. So blank the world, you know, like, blank them.
Don't ever apologize. Just
I'd
like to take this moment to apologize to absolutely fucking no one.
That's
a great reference.
My president so often he was like, he didn't like, he's awesome. He didn't care at all. Like my AD, they were fine.
We would be doing a disservice, and I make everyone uncomfortable when I'm gonna switch this.
No, I think you have to.
Let me first say this. I am, I've talked to Coach Lloyd. I'm very excited about Coach Lloyd. Yeah. I like, no, but I just want to know, and this is purely, I'm not trying to get your take on, and understand this, Adia, we edit everything. We're going to let you listen to everything.
So oh, I don't,
like,
you don't have
I just want to make sure that like, you're not.
No,
like,
I'm good.
Oh yeah. Okay. So
my little Arizona, he's nervous. Yeah,
no. I just want to make sure because I know this is she's a coach. Like she I don't want to ever.
Yeah, what do you guys think about it?
So no, my question to you is this. I think what everybody's thoughts about it are, but did it feel like you show up and you work? Obviously, you know the history of Arizona men's basketball.
Yeah.
You show up and you bring it Arizona women's basketball to the national prominence as Arizona men's yeah. basketball is going through a shift. Like only the third shift since like 1984. Mm-hmm. And so when you look at that and it like, what was the environment? Like you talk about culture. Obviously the Arizona men's basketball team needed a culture change.
Mm-hmm.
Like, was that like kind of a weird, like, I don't know what's the way I'm trying to say it. Was that like a weird moment for like just the basketball community in Tucson?
I think it was weird. Like I love Sean. I think Sean was a great coach. Sean. Sean was a good coach. And we were friends. I think the weird space was that not knowing what was going to happen. Like none of the, no allegations were out. Yeah. Everything was at a standstill and no one was talking about it. And we had like a lot going on with football. So I think it was just kind of like everybody's looking at it, like what's going on. And I stay out. I have a fam. Like I don't get into all the McHale stuff. So I'm just like, it's my job.
Yeah.
But it was a weird space because no one knew anything and no one knew what was going on. So it was like weird.
Yeah. I love it when you said the McHale stuff because people don't understand that McHale is a high school.
Yeah.
McHale,
I don't
like, oh, yeah. At, no, Allie, so you've been to the McHale Center, but all the locker rooms used to be in the McHale Center. They moved some of the football, but it used to be like a high school because all the athletes, all of our lockers, all of our food training all thing was there. All the coaches' offices are above. So like McHale Center was like the 100% hub.
Yeah. Right.
So it was like, we were always together.
Always.
So it was like a high school. It was like, did you hear this? Did you did this and this drama? And I heard like
we had to work out with the gymnasts and the swimmer. So it's like the basketball players would work out here, the gymnasts would do this, and we'd rotate around that little gym until they built the new one. Well,
no, but that was part of the reason why I literally donated, like you know, the whole like why I worked with.
That's my money.
Tell them, girl. Tell
them. Them tax write offs is hitting different.
I ain't donated anything for a long time. I got waiting.
Hey, I donated because I got a brick.
I know, but I could. I knew Adia, you remember practicing in Gideon's. You remember practicing in Bear Down Gym.
Oh,
it was awful.
Bendonitis Gym?
Hey, I used to donate for a woman's facility. Don't you need a write off?
Yeah, tell him, Chad.
You have three daughters. You should.
Why do you need a women's facility?
So we have our own stuff. It's 2021. We need our own stuff.
Amen.
That I did not say that. I don't know the details, but I didn't think I always was super excited because I knew that it was going to be used for men's and women's. And
no, it was not. It's perfect. Yeah. It's
really nice. No, but we need to get you your own.
We can use another one right next to it, Channing.
There we go.
On that list of money.
There's a lot of grass.
Now Trump is not in office, but you are going to get killed in taxes.
This is also
right off.
You know what? I can get you two rebounders and some new jerseys. How about we'll start there?
And a practice facility.
Oh,
it's gonna be outside court, all concrete.
All concrete.
I tell you what though.
Helping y'all up.
You keep having a couple more runs like this. I have a feeling that women's practice. No, but that women's practice gym is necessary because those are the things that help with recruiting.
Well, when they spread out volleyball. They're actually trying to do something like that.
Yeah, but it just helps with recruiting because when they talk to me, they're like, listen, Duke has their own gym. North Carolina, Syracuse, all Michigan State, all of these schools have their own designated gym for like basketball. And we were all still practicing in Bear Down.
Yeah, we had to wait for volleyball to be done.
Yeah,
so I remember Bear Down was brutal.
I thought Giddens was the worst. I thought Giddens, that was like
the worst. Yeah. I was at the end of that.
Yeah, that's trash.
You guys, I swear I just looked at the clock. It was 10:15 and now it's 10:25. I don't want to make you leave for the meeting.
Let, we gotta let the boss go.
But I will say, I always give the guys shit for the bear down and all the Arizona and blah, blah, blah.
When we were playing, we didn't have this. Now
we have that. I'm still.
Don't even know what that.
I'm confused by that.
It's a wildcat. It's right a W and it's a W.
Are you gonna pinch something?
That's in your right hand, not your left. What's your game?
This wasn't new, and I'm still trying to get on board with it.
I feel like I'm too old for that.
I just say bear down. That's
hey,
you guys are awesome.
What are you supposed to say to a bear down? I always say every day. Say
go Cats, but I'm always like, I'm always like, yeah, bear down.
Whatever it's in. It's bear down to bear down. It's like bear down.
Right? It just feels weird. You're like bear down, and I'm like, fucking A right, I am.
No, Channing, you're just supposed to say bear.
Wait, are you guys getting gear and stuff? Are you guys, do they send you guys?
Yeah. What? Oh, yeah. I told them when I done,
I don't get anything,
that I need to be the 15th player on the roster. I was like, I want all of the stuff that
what,
they get.
Both
I need...
a lot?
No, yeah. No, not really.
Channing doesn't ask. I ask for stuff. Channing.
Closed mouths don't get fed. They'll know it now.
Let me tell them to send you some stuff.
Yeah, women's stuff too.
We can send stuff to your dog, like, you know.
No, yes.
My girls love basketball.
Yeah, Allie's an Ohio State, a Toledo. She's a Toledo girl.
They said go Toledo Torpedoes.
But okay. We'll get some Arizona women's stuff. We'll get Allie on board. We'll get Allie on board with the Arizona.
A show.
But
yeah, Dia, I know that you've been all over the place. So to take the time to spend with us, we really appreciate it.
This doesn't feel like a
good. And normally, if it wasn't so early, we're drinking. That's what
it's the best.
Yeah.
You guys should have Ari on there.
Well, 100%.
Do you know someone?
I mean, no, I'm a player, Ari. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Do you know someone that could hook us up?
Yeah.
Okay. With that said, speaking of drinking, we do want to give a shout out to Camus. It always keeps our engine fueled. So we want to send a bottle of Camus to you. So I will also need to get your address after the fact and get it through your guy or whatever.
Just text me and I'll text it to you.
Okay.
All right.
Another edition of Road Tripping.
Hey, Road Trippin' fam. We are excited to let you know that Road Trippin' is proud to be presented by FanDuel. Never played NBA Daily Fantasy on FanDuel before? Well, check this out. Right now, FanDuel is offering up to a $500 bonus instantly when you make your first deposit with a 20% deposit match. Why should you play on FanDuel NBA? Well, for one, it is easy to use when it comes to their app. What's not to love about that? But also, for example, they offer different and unique contests across sports in relation to your skill level. Oh yeah, and get this. You can play for big prizes, single game contests for the biggest national matches, and enter contests for as low as 5 cents. That's right, 5 cents. Simply incredible. So again, let's recap. Right now, FanDuel is offering up to a $500 bonus instantly when you make your first deposit with a 20% deposit match. Enter URL FanDuel.com/roadtrippin to play now and get your deposit bonus. That's URL FanDuel.com/roadtrippin so they know we sent you. FanDuel, more ways to win.